Let us pray. Father, we rejoice to hear your word this morning, a word that is living and active, and that comes to penetrate us and to touch us afresh. So we pray that as we reflect upon it, you will come and just minister to us wherever we need to be healed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, clergy have long been the target of jokes, particularly those dealing with the length of their sermons. And I heard one about a preacher who was ending his sermon and he apologised to the congregation for speaking too long. You see, he says, "I don't have a watch." Somebody from the back shouted out, "It's not a watch you're needing, it's a calendar." I guess we're used to sermons lasting around 15 to 20 minutes. When it gets to about 30 or 40, we start to get agitated, don't we? Unless, of course, the preacher is one of these people that you could listen to all day. Last year in the summer, we had the joy of welcoming the Reverend John Miller, ex-minister of Castlemilk and former moderator of the General Assembly. He came to speak at an event at Brayhead House, and all who gathered were captivated by his words to us. He is such a moving speaker. In fact, he was weeping himself before he began to preach that day. And in the course of his preaching and his telling stories of his ministry, people were moved to tears. And when he was finished, everyone was wishing that he could have spoken for longer than the hour and a half allotted to him. Both of our readings this morning feature sermons. Our Old Testament reading this morning portrays a very special day in the life of the people of Israel. The people who have recently returned to the Promised Land after spending decades in exile in Babylon. And they've been gathered together in the square next to the Watergate in Jerusalem. Men, women, and children. And there the law of Moses is read to them and explained to them from early in the morning until midday for close to 6 hours. And I wonder how you would feel if I told you you're not getting out of here for another 6 hours. You'd be right out that door. Yet that is not the reaction to the people of God as they listen to this incredibly long proclamation of God's word. Far from it. The people are completely wrapped up in it. They weep, they shout amen, they raise their hands to heaven, they fall on the ground and bow their heads low and pray. In short, they are completely involved with the word that they are hearing. It touches them in a very deep place. And this reaction is so forceful because it's been such a long time since they heard the word of God. And as it's preached and as it's explained to them, they realize how far over the years they have strayed from God's path, and just how much goodness and blessing they have missed for so many years. On that day, the word became alive once more to them, and they were touched and deeply affected. Ezra, seeing their reaction, seeing their brokenness, their weeping, has words of comfort to bring them. "This day is holy to the Lord your God. This time is special to God. Don't mourn or weep, but go now and celebrate. Eat the best food and drink the best wine. and share it with those who have nothing to eat or drink. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't be grieved. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Our New Testament reading, we hear, filled with the power of the Spirit, Jesus returned from 40 days in the wilderness and began teaching in the synagogues of Galilee. When he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Jesus was a faithful Jew who wanted to share in the liturgical life of his community, and so he regularly went to worship with the people of God. Now, synagogues generally didn't have professional rabbis. Instead, the person conducting the service would ask someone from the congregation to speak. And on that particular day, Jesus was invited to bring the word of God to the gathered people. The men and women in the congregation watch as he stands up and receives the scroll. They watch him unroll it and look for a passage. And the passage comes from the prophet Isaiah. Then they listen as he reads it aloud to them. And we can maybe imagine the sound of his voice, the authority and the purity of his words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then the congregation watch as he rolls a scroll back up, hands it to the attendant, and sits down, as was the custom of his time. And then he begins his sermon. And the eyes of all the synagogue are fixed on Jesus as they wait for him to speak. And what does he say? Well, he speaks perhaps the world's shortest ever sermon. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. One short sentence. I wonder what you would have thought if I'd stood up here this morning and said one sentence and then sat down. Maybe some of you would go, hurrah, good. We're going to get out of here even quicker today. Today, Jesus' words are as true as they were the very first time he spoke them. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled. Not some other day, not some distant day, not some vague and far-off moment in the future, but today, this very day, the scripture has been fulfilled. For the first listeners, it must have been a shock to hear that. And yet, they'd been waiting for this very moment, not just for a few days or a few weeks or a few years, but for lifetimes. They had been waiting generation after generation, waiting for the Anointed One to come, who would heal the brokenhearted, set the downtrodden free, liberate those who are captive, give sight to the blind. And so here we see Jesus on this particular day. And as he speaks it, he must realize too that the words he is uttering have come true. He is the one who has been anointed. He is the one who's been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He is the one to bring good news to the poor, proclaim freedom to the captives. He knows who he is, and he realizes in that moment, that day, this is what he has come to do. He knows his identity, and he knows his mission, and every single thing he does from that moment on, preaching, teaching, healing, suffering, dying, rising again, will be for the sake of following his destiny. His whole ministry now flows from this first sermon. And it's a wonderful vision that comes to the people of God sending the one who will heal and set free and reconcile and save. Today, Jesus says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And you know, when I've read that passage in the past about Jesus coming and being the anointed one, I've immediately thought of the message going out to the poor, out to the brokenhearted, out to people who are captive. But as I read it again this week, and isn't it amazing how God's word just speaks to you sometimes? As I read it again this week, I realized that Jesus was talking to the people who'd gathered in the synagogue that day. They were the ones who needed healing. They were the ones who needed to be set free. They were the ones who needed to see. Before anyone else, Jesus was coming to his own people. Yes, the message was for the Gentiles also, but he wanted to make sure his own people were in a good place with him. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves, don't we? I need to remind myself that I've not got everything together in my life. All of us are broken, wounded, captive in some way to things in our lives that make us not whole, that make us diseased. And we need to hear these wonderful words from Isaiah, and we need to remember that the Lord is here today. The scripture has been fulfilled in your presence. It's as we listen to God, it's as we listen to his word, God comes to heal, to set us free. This is the day to be released. This is the day to hear the good news. This is the day to be made whole. This is the day to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes it's hard to listen deeply. We have so much clutter in our minds, so many impulses, memories, things that keep us away from hearing from God. But he always, constantly invites us to listen deeply to him in the silence of our hearts, to ask ourselves, how is God coming to me right now as I listen? Where am I discerning the healing hand of God through the word I'm studying? How are my sadnesses, don't know if that's a word or not, how is my sadness, my grief, my anger, my mourning being transformed at this very moment? As I wait for the Lord, am I sensing his love purifying my heart and giving me new life? Every time we turn to scripture, every time we open ourselves to the living word, we are opening ourselves to the very life giver himself. I probably said this to you before, but when I first went to university, One of the lecturers said, you know, the words on the page are not just black and white images there. It's a living word. And as you read the word reads you. It talks to you, it speaks to you, it searches you, and it brings you whatever you require. On that particular day, Jesus realized his mission. And on that particular day, the people he spoke to heard a new thing. Later on, they would turn against the word. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. But on that particular moment, they heard it all right. Jesus found his mission. And as we listen to his words, as we are healed and made whole, it means that we too find our mission in his service. All of us were anointed at our baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon us. That same Spirit in which Jesus was anointed and filled. And we listened to the same inner voice of love that Jesus listened to. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And then we are sent out, led by the Spirit of God, to make real the heal and liberating presence of God to others that we meet. God always is inviting us to join in with what he's already doing. Jesus is always inviting us to go with him, to be with the people he wants to be with, to minister to them as we have been ministered to. When I first was ordained as a minister, people kept saying to me, what's your vision? What's your vision for the church? And I had heard a word from the Lord, but I was scared to say it. I was scared to say what I had heard, because I had this vision of people streaming down the road, coming into churches, coming into sanctuaries, meeting with people. And all the people that were coming down the road were broken people, were wounded people. Some of them were making their own way. Others were having to be helped along the road. But they were all coming into the door of the sanctuary, looking to meet the one who could heal them. And that was a very scary picture to have in my mind. But it proved itself true over the years, because the people who were coming down the road and into the sanctuary, well, it was us. It was us in the beginning. It was us coming in, looking for healing, looking for comfort, looking for freedom. And we had to tend to ourselves before we even began to think of tending to other people. It's just such a wonderful passage, this. And I just love the short sermon that Jesus preached that day. Today, the scriptures have become real in your presence. Praise the Lord for all that he's doing in our days. Praise the Lord for all that he's doing in our lives, as individuals, as a congregation, as a community here in this beautiful part of the world. And God bless you this week as you go out from here, taking the light of Christ, the healing of Christ, the liberating word of Christ, to bless those you come in contact with. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us here this morning, and you know each one of us inside and out. You know the wounds that we carry, the grief that we bring with us. You know the things that capture us and imprison us. But the invitation is always to come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. And so, Father, we pray that your peace will just descend upon us this day and remain with us as we go through the rest of the day and the rest of this week. Stay close to us and help us to listen to you and for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.